I have a friend who has a habit. Now, he's kind of stopped it since I preached about this once many years ago. But whenever we would go to have dinner or have a drink or whatever, and somebody would ask him what he wanted, he would go, "I think I'm in the mood for this." And then he would order what he was going to order. But most of us will do the same thing. We just do it in our head without the sound effects, okay? But we all have to whenever we're invited to dinner or whenever we are invited to go out for a drink or something. Or even if we go to each other's homes, one of the first questions of hospitality is, would you like something to drink? And what is it that you'd like to drink? Now, if I were a theologian saying that to you, if I were your spiritual bartender today, what I would say to you is, what is it that you are thirsty for? What is it that you are thirsty for? You see, if we can answer that question, sound effects or not, if we can answer that question, we are following Jesus on a path of salvation. But many of us can't answer the question. And so we kind of wander through life searching for this thing or that thing or other things in some ways that are going to make us happy or at least, you know, kind of quell our boredom for a few moments until we look for the next thing that's coming along. And indeed, in ways of faith, what we're really challenged to do is to figure out what ultimately we are thirsty for. Because when we find that, there won't be any more of the stumbling and complaining and the grumbling and the whining like we hear in the first reading. Okay? Now I stop and I think about our ancestors in the faith. And if you really read that whole story of Exodus all the way through, it's pretty entertaining. Because here, our people have been freed from their slavery. And within a very short time, when they're wandering through the desert, then they suddenly start complaining, Oh, for the leeks and the garlics of Egypt. Oh, for the flesh pots that we had after we got finished doing our work. And you know God is kind of standing there going, and you're the people that were complaining. And I freed you from your slavery. Okay. And now they're heading into the desert. And now, even though God has helped them to survive through all of it, they're heading into the desert, and now their complaint is, have you just let us out here into this wilderness so that we can die of thirst? And God even gives them, in our first reading today, water from the rock. He gives them water from the rock. Now, I'm going to ask you, if you keep reading on the book of Exodus, make a guess. Knowing their human nature and knowing our human nature, do you think that even after they got the water from the rock that they ever stopped grumbling and complaining? And the answer would be no. Now I'm going to ask you a very entertaining question. How many of you have been grumbling and complaining about the coronavirus this week? I got news for you. We're always going to have something to complain about. We're always going to have something to grumble about. Because even though God has given us everything and God has given us life, right now, we feel like complaining about the coronavirus. And let's face it, it is something to grumble about. It is something to complain about. It's something we got to take all these extra precautions for. And none of us like it. And it's very, very inconvenient. And all of us have probably told God that at least once or twice in the last few days, how inconvenient it is for us. But when you stop and you look at life in the larger picture, what is it that we're really thirsty for? What is it that we thirst for? Because you see, the woman at the well, when she first started this conversation, had no idea where it was going to lead her. She had no idea that it was going to lead her deeper into faith. But obviously she is a woman of faith, and these are things that she'd contemplated in her heart and in her mind. But all of a sudden, in her banter with Jesus at the well, "You're a Jew, why are you even asking me a Samaritan anything? You think I'm lower than dirt. Why would you be asking me for a drink?" No. And the most important thing he said, and by the way, I did use the shortened form of the gospel today, which is in and of itself a miracle. Okay? And I have cut my homily down today, which is again another thing. It's just nothing short of a miracle. And the reason for that is because those were in the directives. That we were supposed to keep the number of verses to the songs a little bit there, and that we shouldn't preach very long. I said on the conference call the other day when the consultants were talking about this and giving the bishop our best advice, somebody said, and people shouldn't preach very long. They shouldn't preach for 15 minutes. And somebody said, well, who preaches for 15 minutes? And I said, sometimes if you don't preach for 15 minutes, you're not trying. And they all went, oh. I said, well, okay. Those are the directives. We'll try it for a little while. Okay? But what I'm saying is that we have to look at the most important line of what Jesus says to that woman at the well. He says, if you'd have known who you were asking for a drink, who was asking you for a drink, you'd have said instead, I'm going to ask you for a drink. I'm going to ask you for living water. And she still doesn't get it. And they have to go through more conversation to get there. And eventually she says, I want the living water. I want faith. And he just keeps drawing her in, because then she starts asking questions about how to worship. And then ultimately he reveals to her that he is the Messiah, the one she's been waiting for too. And soon she is getting her thirst filled, and so is everybody else in town. And so I'm saying to you, that's the question we have to answer for ourselves. What is it that we thirst, that we're thirsty for? Who is it for whom we thirst? Because when we figure that out, everything changes. Everything changes. Who is it that you thirst for? Maybe if Jesus encounters us at the well this morning, maybe we won't have quite so many things to grumble or complain about this week.